say, you guys get excited. And you know, I said, no, it's blessed. So y'all gonna help me today? Now, Brother Parker helped the same with the choir, and you guys, y'all gonna help me? Amen. Amen. Okay. Jesus lived in constant communication with God. There was never a time when he was away from God. You remember even when he had fasted, Satan tried to get him to act independent of God the Father. But he wouldn't do it with him. Because he understood that being constantly in communication with God, it only brings blessings. He never felt at a distance from God, except when he was dying on the cross as the sin bearer. My Lord, my God. The only time he felt a little distant, you remember he says, why have thou forsaken me? You remember that when he was dying on the cross? But look at this. Even that time, even that time that he felt that distance, when he became our sin bearer on Calvary's cross, he was doing that in obedience to the Father. Do you pick up where I'm going? You see, Sister Moon, even when he did feel that distance, when the Father had to turn his back on that sin, so to speak, what he was doing and placing himself in that position of the Lamb of God to be the propitiation for you and I, he was doing that in obedience to the Father. In obedience to the Father, watch this now, on our behalf, brought a little distance between him and the Father because who he was going to become. The sin bearer of the world. Why hast thou forsaken me? See, Christ was not used to no distance between him and his Father. We are one. We agree in one, but it was something about the characteristic of our God that when sin is involved, it separates. That's a message in itself. But anyway, let me calm down. Let me calm down. Sin bearer. And that was in obedience to the Father. Jesus often prayed. And evidently during these times, his disciples were aware of the unusual blessings coming to him as a result of praying. They watched him pray enough, his disciples, the 12. They watched him enough and they saw the results of his prayer. And seeing the results, it brought them to a decision. And a petition. Jesus, teach us to pray. You see, I know this is God and God's Son, God incarnated. I know all of that. But you know what my thought hit me? Even when we see other people with a strong prayer life, when you have people around you, I watch you enough. My prayer life may not be as strong as yours, but I'm watching you commune with God enough. And I begin to see the results, the blessings, and the positive consequences of your connection in prayer, your access to in prayer, to a point that it would motivate me to say, maybe I'm not doing it right. Maybe it's something about how you do it. Is that the reason you get these results and I don't? I notice when you pray, it seemed like things happen. It seemed like when you pray, it seemed like it don't take God a long time to answer those prayers. But I'm just watching you. I'm around you. I'm communing with you. And I'm seeing what you do for a spiritual result. Now, it has captivated me enough to ask you, can you teach me how to pray? See, that was a loaded question. A lot of times we don't realize, and I mean this. It was that we have seen so many blessings come by way of prayer when you do it, Jesus. We want some too. We see the way you approach God in such a way you do it, and you constantly do it. And you get up early sometimes, and sometimes you go aside in a quiet place, and you commune with God. But it's not just what you say to God. It's what happens after you get in touch with God. Teach us how to do that. Because we have things and we have mountains unsurmountable in our own lives, and we can't climb them, we can't move them out of the way, but it's something about after talking to God that he makes a difference. But maybe the way we are talking to him is not the proper way. It's not the way to get the things that we stand in need of. But I've been watching you. Seem like God just blesses you. I've seen you down for the count. That you get in touch with God, he lifts you higher than you ever been. What's with that? Anybody following me? The key to the power is persistent prayer. They sung about that. They didn't know what I was going to preach. No God like Jehovah. Lay it all on the altar. I wish I could get every little piece out of what God gave me that I could stretch it out. But I guess I got to learn how to do that. But it's just so good to me. So y'all bear with me, okay? You bear with me. Because I don't want you to ever think what I preach is just for you guys. It starts right here. And if nobody else gets it, I get it. And I'm like this. I like to think about what I hear. I like to let it marinate a little bit. And that's what's happening when some of the pauses. I'm thinking about what I just said. Because like I said, there are some things that I say they're not written down. I got some scriptures and a few things written down. But the other thing, I'm getting them like, Lord, where that come from? You know, but God is good in me. Are y'all praying for me? Okay. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 11, 1 through 4. And we'll use this to get our outline of what we were talking about. Luke chapter 11. Verses 1 through 4. Now it came to pass, as he was praying. Okay, I want you to highlight. As he was praying. I tell you, if you're taking notes and you, now you can take some notes what I'm saying, but you can add your own, whatever God's saying to you, as individual witness come out, okay? But I want you, really I want you to put as he was praying. See, remember when we talk about there's the results of prayer, things happen with prayer. You can put whatever you want to put as I was praying, as the church is praying, as the pastor is praying. You can put whatever you want, but the key is the Holy Spirit thought enough of including the activities of Christ even before he went to the meat of what he wanted to say. Huh? He let us know what activity, what he was exercising before he went to the other verses of what he wanted to say about it. You know, sometimes people out outside cutting the grass, and all of a sudden a neighbor comes with a question. You're out there in the hot sun cutting grass, and you cut the lawnmower off because they want to, they got something on their mind, and you can go back and say, you know, as I was cutting my grass, didn't want to cut my grass. You go the whole story. As I was doing this, my neighbor didn't ever want to talk to me about the Lord. But the day I was cutting grass, then I didn't want to stop because I didn't want to be out there in the sun no way. But as I was cutting my grass, he came and said, what about this Jesus we've been arguing about? And I clicked the lawn wall. Okay. But now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. That's another thing too. Put that down. Praying in a certain place. Now you can add whatever you want to add to it, but as I'm getting this, I'm just relaying it, to you. Praying in a certain place. So what we're looking at, the habit of Jesus Christ. See, there are some things that became a habit with him. And so I'm kind of drawing out even for, you know, and ain't none of this written down, but I just see it through the scriptures as I'm getting to where I'm trying to go. See? He says that when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, you see, a lot of people may see some things, but sometimes only one has the boldness to speak upon it. He said, Lord, teach us. One is speaking, but he's speaking on behalf of the us. Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And I like this. Jesus didn't rebuke them. Jesus didn't say, be quiet. Jesus didn't say, I'm too busy to do this. It says, so he said to them. Now, one is speaking about the them. And when Jesus addressed them, he talked to the whole crowd. You follow what I'm saying? See, this word of God, though I'm preaching as an individual, is for us. The them. Right? He says, so he said to them, when you pray. Now, here's the point. This is something good, too. He's assuming you do pray. So, but when you do it, remember I say, I may be praying, but maybe I'm not praying like you. And maybe that's why I'm not getting the results that I need to get, because I really don't know how to do it like you. Okay? I'm humbling myself. I'm speaking in humility. Hey, when I see you talk to God, man, woo, woo. It's like John the Baptist. But he taught his disciples too, didn't he? See, it's kind of hard to teach somebody something you don't know. So it tells me John knew how to pray because he taught his disciples. And we know Jesus knew how to pray. Am I right about it? He said, look here, let me tell you something here. He says, when you pray, this is what you do. Say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, he said, teach us, and he said, you pray in this manner. Now you know, a lot of people call this the Lord's Prayer, you know, say the Lord's Prayer. But we know this is a sample, see, an example of how to pray to his Father. See, if we look at it this way, Jesus is telling us how to talk to his dad. See, it's just like my boys, certain ones, they can be around and they can see someone talk to me the wrong way. They can say, you can forget it talking to him like that. Now, they can pull you to the side. Don't talk to, they'll say, dad, don't talk to daddy that way. Let me tell you how to talk to him. You follow what I'm saying? Why? Because there's an intimate relationship and we have gotten to know one another enough that we know what turned one on and what turned one off, because there's a close relationship. So Christ was praying to his Father. You follow what I'm saying? Now he's instructed them how to pray. Now we like to say John 17, we see the Lord's Prayer, but here is a sample of how to pray. But let's sample the sample. Let's look at the sample prayer. And let's look at it. And you can come at it at a whole lot of different ways. But for today's lesson, I want to come at it with a few things that I picked up out of here. And you can pick up a whole lot of things. It's not a laundry list, but it's just one of the lists. Is that okay? Okay, because you can't exhaust the word of God. I don't care how many times you preach it. It will always be something it's going to reveal to the reader. So God is great. So what, for my outline, the first thing, the first two verses that I see here, prayer is about God's character and God's will. That's what I got out of that. So when I look at the first two verses, it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy, separate, lifted up high, set apart, be your name. When we come to God, we need to know that we are coming to the epitome of holiness. You see, Jesus telling us, you address his holiness when you come to him. You start with his character, his attribute when you talk to him. Now keep in mind, this is the only begotten son, the only unique one, instructing his disciples how to talk to his dad. If anyone that has such a there's no one to have a close relationship with the Father like the Son. He always did the Father's will. He knew the Father's will. And so what better person to instruct you about what the Father will from you? Anybody with me? He said, when you approach him, you come and let him know. See, he know who he is, but he want to know, do you know who he is? And watch this now. Don't go there where he already know, he know everything, so he knows, so I ain't going to say nothing when I walk in. Jesus said, no, don't care that mess to my Father. Don't care that mess. See, this thing of not expressing what you know about God, a lot of that mess is not Bible, that's you. That's you. That ain't Bible. See, because here's the thing. Jesus said, when you go, God knows. Let me tell you something, son. If you want to know how to pray, my Father knows everything. So when you go in his presence, just stand there like a statue. Don't even open your mouth, because he knows everything. Huh? Now, see, there's a lot of stuff that we have added in. See, we need to exegete the word of God, not do eisegesis. We done add a lot of stuff in. We super-sized it and super-spiritualized it. We added in. Some things we X out and we get that, but we start Xing out a lot, then all of a sudden we done got so good at it, we start entering stuff in. Huh? And when we enter stuff in, yeah, you just stand where he know everything, just stand there. No. Jesus said, you want me to teach you? Jesus said, I'm gonna teach you, follow my instructions. If I'm the instructor, you follow my instructions. If you watch this now. You've been watching my results from my Father when I go in secret prayer, closet prayer, open prayer. When I talk to him, you see the results from heaven. You see the spiritual consequences of my actions. So when I tell you, I'm going to tell you how to approach him and that you can get all that you need from him. I don't know about you. I don't want to shortchange myself when I go to Jesus. Watch this. And see, a lot of times, my shortchanging myself is not that God don't have the ability to bless me far above what I even ask or think. It's just my inability to follow the instructions of the Son. Anybody with me? If you want to teach, you got to follow the instructions. If they didn't want to be taught, they shouldn't ask, teach me. See, there's some people don't want to be taught. Preacher, don't teach me. I only know while I'm in church. Soon as I'm able, I ain't coming. God, I don't want to be taught. But I'm assuming you keep coming, you want to be taught. You want to be fed. And that's my commission, to feed the flock. But not my food, but feed them the word of God. I tell you, me and the brother preacher was talking about sound doctrine on the phone. Like I said, we get too long when I got to go, man. I got to hang up on you. I'll get back with you. Boy, you know, so much stuff can distract you. Could be good. It could be good things. So I'm not saying everything is bad, but it may not be for my time. Because if it's bad, you can readily see it and dismiss it. But if it's good, but if it's good, you it's kind of hard. Okay, let me get back on track. So he said, thank you, my brother. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. He says, you know what? You the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And because you're a king, you have a kingdom. But here on earth, the prince of the power of the air, the evil one, is doing his thing. And he's seeking whom he may devour. You know, he's still in our minds. He's still in our hearts. He's twisting scripture. I mean, he's doing all that he can to get up a group of people that will worship him. And many people are bowing down to Satan and don't even know it, because they refuse to present the kingdom of God and ask him for it to come. Come, Lord Jesus. He says, your will be done. See, now he spoke about his character of holiness, his character of kingliness, kingdom. If you got a kingdom, you must be a king. Walk with me. Then he says, now, when you talk to my daddy, just don't talk to him about his kingdom. Just don't talk to him about his character, but now talk to him about his will. Your will be done. Now, you know what? This reminds me of Christ when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, I believe it is. Didn't he say, not as I will? Huh? When he asked for the cup to be removed. Are you with me? But what did he say? Not as I will. What did he say, Sister Tracy? But what? Your will be done. So here's the thing. It follows right here when he's teaching them how to pray. It should always be about the will of God. And many times we don't get what we want or need because you go to him and you don't even address him no time about his will. You start with your will. What I want to do, or what should be done. And God said, you ever come to me and tell me that my will means something to you? When I said, Jesus, I know how he thinks. I knew when blood vessels were bursting in the Garden of Gethsemane, when I went to him and said, if there be any other way, remove this cup from me. three times and asking others to let's go in corporate prayer. But I understood in the end, it was not about my will. I didn't come here to do my will. I came to do his will. And the way it really should be, I can say I came to do my will too, because I am God. See, my will and the Father's will is one. So when you pray to him, listen to my instructions. I'm going to get you some blessings. I want you, when you set the prayers up, that the blessings come down. But a lot of times, the package in which you wrap your prayer in, it won't go through. The stamp that you put, sometimes you forget to put the stamp on it. You try to nail some nail and a stamp not on, it's going to come back. Jesus said, I want you to stamp it with his holiness. I want you to stamp it with his will. Let him know it's your will. You know what I mean? And I tell you, man, it's nothing like it. Many times we do some things ain't the will of God. We want it. We may even call it the will of God. I'm going to make it God's will. God won't do it. And my God, the consequences, they come somewhere down the pipe. But he says, you asked me to teach you. So I'm going to do that. Am I making any sense? Okay. So he's moved now. He says his will. Now, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is very important. Put on your notes. You can phrase it the way you want to. God's perfect will is always done in heaven. There is no time or ever have been a time that God's will was not done in heaven. Now, even when Satan sinned, God kicked him out. See, because God was not going to allow Satan's will to take over heaven. See, my sons, I say sons because I didn't have no daughters, three boys, and they mess with me, so I like to mess with them. I know they didn't like it, but see, they need to realize I didn't like it when my mama told it to me. You know, when you start acting up, we call it getting grown. Anybody ever got grown with their parents? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, y'all. I don't know what that man talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say it the way they say it. I'm going to leave that alone. I just say, get grown with them. It didn't work with a lot of parents, did it? But I used to tell my children, I want you all to remember now, I'm the captain of this ship. You just a member of the crew. See, the captain, he runs the ship. He's in charge of the ship. Huh? Let something go wrong with that ship. The captain got to give an answer. All those ships that sinking, and what about the cruise ship that sunk? And the captain said he fell in the boat. Come on, y'all, this true stuff. The cruise ship that sunk years and was upside down for a long time. You remember Sheila? He said he fell in there. Why did you fall in the water? You fell in the lifeboat. Now, you know what? And you fell in front of the children, the women. Now you wonder why you were in court. Because here's the thing, you were in charge of that boat. And so what I'm saying is, God is in charge of heaven, and his will is always done there. But the point about it ain't always done on earth. He said, but you pray. You pray because one day it's going to be done. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Huh? It's going to be a righteous reign all about God. But right now, you want to know how to get a prayer through with results that's called blessings. Anybody need a blessing of whatever sort? You heard them testimonies about folk who got a blessing. Lord have mercy. Okay, let me move on now. Let me move on. So my next point is, first point was prayer is about God's character and God's will. So whenever you approach God, and you use your own words, I'm not trying to give you special words to use or special formula. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm just trying to line you up with what God requires. Okay? To make sure you won't just want to come out and pray because somebody said, come and pray, and you come and, you know. No, no. I want to know, how do I do this biblically, scripturally? How do I do it? Is there any instruction biblically on how to do that? That's all I'm saying. So when you do come, you come prepared. Okay? And out of that, you say, Lord, you know what? I'm coming to you, Father, the way your son told me to come. And watch this now. Where is Christ now? He's seated where? And what is he doing up there? He's doing what for us? Huh? Okay. So I said, watch this. I tell you what, please pray after this message. Because you also can throw me in there. Christ told us, Father, how to pray. And I'm trying to do it because I was instructed today by the pastor. And the pastor, Father, the Holy Spirit made him overseer to feed me. He fed me the instruction of how to talk to you. You know what I'm doing? I'm throwing everything back where he said. Watch me. I'm not trying. Please walk with me. I'm trying to get you a blessing. You want to do a lot of junk up here? See, you can hold me to what I said, but you can't hold me to what I didn't say. You bring a lot of stuff. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Now, I did say that then. I'm sorry I didn't say that. Okay. Y'all ain't with me, so y'all just make me stop preaching. I told you I'm happy. Been happy that for a few months. Really have. I don't know what's going on with me, but my spirit been real high. Amen. I know when it's low, but it's been real high. Okay. So my next point is three to four, prayer is about what we need from God. Oh, you already got it up here. Okay. It's what we need from God. So we put God first, even before our needs. All right? Now, these is God's his instruction. And I believe Jesus also is telling us, he said, you know, this is how I go to you. You know, he says, now, give us day by day our daily bread. I'm thinking about the manna that came from heaven. It was a day by day thing on it. And it's something about day by day. You know, you can't give us too much that we won't come back until that's gone. And suddenly we don't understand about our relationship with God, the believer's relationship with God, that connection we have, that God wants to see us every day. God wants to talk to us every day. Now, we may not want to talk to God every day, but God wants us to commune with him. Huh? Like the dew in the morning. Come on, y'all. Now, I'm getting all of this. I'm not making none of this up. He says, you asked me to give you a day by day our daily bread. And I'm mindful that you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. So the bread, physical bread, also spiritual bread, huh? Whatever I stand in need to be nourished, I need to be nourished physically, I need to be nourished spiritually, huh? He says, that you need every day. See, watch this. The new mercy ain't the only thing God will give you every day. Huh? He'll give you bread every day. Huh? He's you asking a daily thing, a continual thing. Let it be a continuation that, God, I depend on you for my food, physical and spiritual. I need you every day. I need you. See, that's why when you pray over that food, you sanctify that food. You give him thanks for the money to buy that food. You tell him to sanctify it, because when you go to some restaurant and they bring your food a long distance, you don't know what's in that food. You just throw that out your mind, and you pray and you eat it. Sometimes you go to a restaurant and you come home and you're sick. Now, sometimes it may be you got a virus or something, you know what I mean? But sometimes you may be food poisoned and don't even know it. And I tell you what happened. Some restaurants have lost some customers, so I ain't going back there. I don't know what it was, but I know I done had it till I ate certain thing at that place. And I don't want no more of that, and I don't eat that kind of food no more because I got sick as a dog. Anybody know what I'm talking about in the house? Come on now, do I have a witness? Okay, I don't want to talk off the top of my head. Ain't no facts to what I'm saying. He says now, you asked him to give you what you're standing in need of. But Lord, not only do I need physical bread, I need forgiveness. Watch this. And forgive us our sin. Can we get real with God in here? You're saved, but you still sin, don't you? See, that flesh and the spirit is fighting you. Things that you would do. Sometimes you find yourself not doing. Not that you don't want to do right all the time. Sometimes you're thinking crazy stuff. You know you ain't got nothing to think with. Think it anyway. Like they say, the bird can fly over the nest, but don't let it make a nest. Sometimes the bird fly over. You grab him. Already prepared the nest. Put him in there. You start with a nest of straw, but you start embracing that sin. See, sin not to get a foothold, then build a castle. Huh? That foothold become a stronghold. And then all of a sudden, the house that bird is in is there, you don't build him a mansion. Because you want him to stay a while. But the thing about forgiveness from the Lord, he said, I don't care how long you let it stay, and how long I knock on your door with conviction or whatever, even you may end up being seared that you don't even hear it no more. But if you turn and say, God, forgive me, he says, I will wash you, cleanse you, forgive you. See, not only thank God give you the mercy every day, food every day, God will give you forgiveness every day. Jesus talking now, how to talk to him. Because see, a lot of times we want to go to him talking to him, and we're not talking about that ness. He said, now, you told me how holy I am. How high I am. You told me about my kingdom that you're praying that it come to earth. But you ain't said nothing about that closet that I've been trying to get in and clean up in your life for a long time. In that prayer was, ask him for forgiveness. See, sometimes that can be the whole topic of one of your prayers. So right now, God, my refrigerator already full. I don't want to act like I need some more. My bank account is already full. I got 2-3 cars. I'm doing pretty good in certain areas that yesterday I asked you for and you blessed me with. Got a better job. But God, I just want to give this time your holiness. I've been fighting with this thing. It's been hard with me. But will you open that door to sin in my life? I'm giving you permission. I'm talking about it. You already know about it. But I've been avoiding it. I've been neglected. I've been acting like it's all right. I can't talk to you and act like it's all right. Because if I want, as the pastor was saying and the word is saying, if I want you to teach me how to talk to you, then I need to know in talking to you, I cannot neglect my sin in my life. I got to let you forgive me, Lord. I know what I done. I'm not saying, son, I did it. I did it. It wasn't my mama, it wasn't my sister, it wasn't my brother. It was me, God. I did it. And my bones are vexed. But today, I needed forgiving. I need healing of my sin. I've asked you for physical things and I've got physical healing. But right now, my spirit, my soul aches because I hobble, I carry it, and now I'm like I'm immune to it. I'm trying to say it's okay, even talking with you. It's to a point now, I don't even ask you to forgive me for it because I don't want it to leave me. I don't want to get rid of it. I've embraced it to so long, it's become a part of me. But we need to know we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We can put off and put on. I'm still on the second point. Anybody follow me? Y'all keep me straight now. Okay. He said, forgive me. Now I'm gonna hold off on part B right now. You see, there's the come, and then you go to another part. I'm going to move down to part C. Prayer, no, I'll keep straight. My next point, then I can finish it on up. My next point is prayer is about what we need to offer to others. Have anybody hurt you? Have you been mistreated? Are you holding unforgiveness in your heart? Is it killing you? Is some of your problems, is it really housing unforgiveness and is rotting your bone? It is taking you out in places that you're not even aware of. Look how Christ say pray. Christ say pray like this. For it says, and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is in debt to us. See, sometimes you want God to forgive you for your sin, and you're still holding a lot of stuff against somebody. Them folks may even be dead and gone, but you're holding it. You got to get rid of it. Christ says when you go to him, you talk about him, but you also talk about yourself, and you also talk about others. Forgive. Learn to forgive. You and I are going to be in trouble if you can't forgive. I tell you the truth. You cannot be a senior pastor and be effective if you can't forgive. Man, people can treat me dirty, and my flesh, I don't want to forgive them. Can I be honest? Treat the church dirty, talk about the church like a dog, talk about me like a dog, drag me all through the street, and I got to forgive them. So when they call on me, I got to open the church up and forgive them. Know what you've done. Know how you treat me. And you go right back and do me the same way. But this prayer tell me to forgive them. Forgive them. You know why he said that? Because keep in mind, Christ had to forgive us. Right? And Christ had done no wrong. You and I may have done some things. But Christ didn't do anything, and he forgave. And we are to imitate him So therefore, he says now, this is how you talk to him. Tell him you will forgive those who have done you wrong. Anybody have done you wrong? Realize that some things you got to forgive. Man, there's some family people and some neighbors and some schoolmates, some college people, some folk in our own homes. There's so many people living with unforgiveness. And I'm not glorifying what may have happened to you. Some things you may not forget, but you got to come up with some forgiveness. Okay? Because what I'm saying, you want to open heaven's gate. Open heaven, that when God dropped that, remember I told you now, they saw the blessings of Christ after prayer. They walked with him. They knew his activities. But they realized, I've been watching you pray, and I've been seeing things take place. I see when you're about to go into another ministry, about to do something else, and you go pray to your Father, then I see the results of all of that. You want forgiveness? You forgive someone. And Christ speaks about it. God speaks about that. You forgive them as I have forgiven you. Have you ever heard people say, I'll never forgive you. I won't care if I live till I'm 80 years old. I never forget that. Now you church people. Wait a minute. Are y'all still going to the same church? I'm not leaving. So late. Good gracious. Now. You know what I want to say? I'm leaving. Do number four. Now tell you what. Now y'all stay. I'm trying to wake y'all up. Can we get real in the house? You know why y'all laughing? Y'all know stuff like that true. I tell you what. Y'all stay. Where you going, Pastor? You can't go nowhere. Wait a minute. You just going to tie me to this. Now, you can't go nowhere. I can't go nowhere. You won't ask for forgiveness. You won't. Why do you want me to keep preaching this? And you're going to do nothing to say it. Why do you want me to irritate you with this? See, there it is. Wait, say it. And then he proved my point. Ain't got to do nothing. But I got to keep doing it. Now, I agree with that. Because they went the word on me. But isn't it amazing? When I went to the word about you forgiving, y'all jumped right over that. And that's what goes on a lot of church. But the pastor, what about you? Oh, my crazy boss say, I gotta ask for forgiveness the way I used to treat pastor. I don't do it anymore. Bro, I gotta ask for it. He say, I'm gonna be honest today. We as a country, we do anything we want to do. But if you do it, you gone. I said, what? He said, yeah, I gotta be honest. He said, we do it, man. Everybody will come get us and minister and get us back in fellowship and pray while we ain't. You do it, bye-bye. That's my old brother told me. I never forgot that thing. I said, he talked like that, but I try to interpret it. It's true. Where you going back? Not only that, man, I'm going with you. God is good in you. Okay, so we have to forgive. You got to forgive. I got to forgive. And sometimes it ain't easy. I'm telling you, I'm not saying it's easy. And I know a lot of stuff that God tells us to do is not easy. It, because my flesh fights me. It fights me every day, 24/7. And sometimes these little battles, it ain't gonna win the war, but the little battles every now and then, sometimes my flesh will win out. And cause me problems, cause me the consequences of my own sin. He said, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is in debt to us. Now here's some other things here that we need to ask God for. He says, and do not lead us into temptation. So God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So God is saying that we will live with temptation all around us. As long as we're in the sin-cursed world and in the society, we're going to live with temptation all around us. Huh? And see, the temptation is not sin, but yielding, there's the sin. But in this prayer, Christ is saying, and I like this because Christ is saying, heaven knows there is temptation. You know, I'm wrong not to ask God to help me with temptation. But what Christ is telling me, children, that heaven know there's temptation down there. Heaven is what Christ is the one saying, tell him about that temptation. Tell my daddy about that temptation. See, I'm unspiritual like I'm spiritual. Ain't no temptation. Christ said it. Christ said, tell him. That's how you talk to him. You tell him what he already knows. He knows it's there. Wow, that made me feel good. Christ said, Curtis, tell my daddy about the temptation. Don't you know the temptation around here, Father? Yes, he know it. Christ said, tell him about that. Deliver me. So here it is too. The same place he put the temptation and know that I can be ensnared in the temptation. But he also put there deliverance. Do you see it? Deliverance. So here's the thing. Temptation may be all around me, but deliverance is all around me too. Come on, somebody. Anybody with me? Jesus said, tell him when sometime you're going down for the third time, singing in your mess, call Jesus and let him deliver you. They said, teach us. Have you been taught today? Will you accept teaching? See, there are some fortresses that's built up in our lives sometimes. Brother Danny, sometimes we'll build up fortresses because we may have been hurt, we may have been through some things. So we put this gate up that those things will never enter in again to harm me. Even to a point, you only let godly instruction come in. It's so fortified with everything from the outside that even stuff from heaven can't get in. When we come to church for that hour or whatever, you should lock all that mess out. Say, I'm going to sit right here. Now, it may get me when I hit that door. But right now, I won't be. I'm not here to hear that junk. I'm here to hear from heaven. So preacher, open the book up. Expound the word of God. Yeah, you can talk about the temptation. But tell me about deliverance also. No? You can talk about the temptation. But God will keep you. Huh? Leave me not that way. You see, God has a way of ordering your steps. But in order to do that, you can't lean to your own understanding. See, Christ said, if you want me to teach you, he didn't even ask us or his disciples, what do you already know about prayer? He don't want to hurt your own understanding of how to pray. He just went right on story. Didn't he? Because he realized they are asking me how to pray effectively. It's I've been praying all my life ineffectively and didn't even know. All I was concerned with, that I prayed. Yeah, but all that praying, all that time that you were giving, you setting aside for prayer, is ineffective. You need to be taught how to do it biblically. They ask, let us pray. I'm thinking, I don't have any more. Holy Spirit should cut it off right there. I don't think.